Matt Towns, 93.1 Jams. What's going on? It's Chris in the Morning Rush. Well, Tracy, we are super excited because when we're talking about a woman who is making a difference in our community each and every day, not only that, but she also is a phenomenal woman on the airwaves when it comes to radio. She is with us right now.
Yes, she is. And what an honor. We have Boss Lady Rebecca Barber in the studio with us.
Good morning. Good morning.
What is up, beautiful girl?
Ladies.
Hi, honey. Well, I am super stoked to see you. It has been a long time since I saw your fabulous self, because the last time you and I hung out, which we actually met in person, is when we were celebrating Brian Holmes' birthday.
Yes. I love you, Holmes.
Yeah. So, Holmes, if you're listening, honey, we love you and we missed you. Let's talk about you, girl, because, again, you are someone that is really doing remarkable things in this community. And I want to let you know about a letter that we received. So, myself and Tracy were on TVW and we were being interviewed and we were on TV Wisconsin. And I received this letter from a young man who is incarcerated. His name is Mark Anthony Espinal. And he says, I'm writing you because I caught the interview that you both did with Justice Jeremiah, and I was touched by the fact that you use your platform to give recognition to those in your local community. We were talking about how we're big advocates of ridding the stigma of mental health and helping out in other departments. He goes, I myself am from Brooklyn, New York, and I unfortunately, my past lifestyle caused me to end up where I am today. My experience has been of one of great lessons and great growth, and I've used my time in prison completely to work on change, so that's when I get out, I can live the rest of my life to be part of a solution and never again a part of a problem. And my greatest lesson was learning the importance of recognizing the ripple effects of one's actions and cause. I am bringing this to you because a phenomenal woman, Rebecca A. Barber, aka DJ Boss Lady, has been a volunteer radio host for the past 10 years in Madison. In her time in the station, she has done what she can to help those in our community that have had injustice. And that's why we are so excited to have you here today. And it really brings emotions to us as well. So thank you again.
That's
girl,
amazing.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much for being here. So tell us about your fabulous self. Give us some insight about what and where you've been in this community as far as the airwaves as well.
Well, like you mentioned, this 2020 was actually the 10-year anniversary at WORT. And if you're familiar with WORT, it's volunteer-based. Mm-hmm. That's every Saturday night with a handful of a few of them off, you know, that you're at the station and you're giving back. And one thing that it really connects us to is the incarcerated community. On top of that, for many years, I've been involved with, you know, the Madison hip hop scene and Urban Community Arts Network and UCAN. And I also right now I'm working with Nehemiah. So I am the housing coordinator with Nehemiah, which is housing for formerly incarcerated men. So it all kind of comes full circle as far as knowing, meeting and communicating with individuals that are in the system pretty much from start to finish. And unfortunately, sometimes when they go back and then they come back out and it's just the revolving door, but just staying connected kind of behind the scenes, but in front of the scenes all at the same time. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when I read this, that you do this in our community, it touched me because I have a family member that has been struggling being in and out. And she let me know about that, like the struggles of trying to find a job, trying to find someone that will allow her to rent. These are very real, real things.
Absolutely.
That happen.
So. Absolutely. And it's hard for me because being Black History Month, I think, why should I take up this airtime? There's so many individuals, and I want to say thank you to 93.1 Jams for highlighting all of the Black excellence that's in the community right now. And what happens, unfortunately, is a lot of times that community doesn't have a voice, or it gets shut out, or they get forgotten as far as those ones that are behind the walls. So that's where I decided, you know, I'm going to go come and be on here anyway, because that's what we do. And sometimes, especially being women in radio, sometimes our voice has to carry the voices of others, just like what we do in our normal lives. But it's just so important to recognize the community and what they're doing and where these struggles are coming from. So if I can just give you and maybe the listeners a visual. So if you just picture right now just someone in prison, just picture someone incarcerated, either in the jail or in the prison, whatever it is, and just take a look at that for a second. And now that you have that image, some of you probably pictured someone you know, and that's unfortunate. But for those of you that really don't know anyone in prison, that image that you just had in your mind, regardless of the color or the sex of the person, that's our biases naturally creating an image in your mind of who's in jail and who's behind bars and what you think that person is. And unfortunately, those are things that are learned, they're taught, and they've been with us for a long time. Even most people, even on this earth right now that are alive, have been born. These things have been kind of ingrained into the system. And so when you say, you know, there's trouble when they come out, I think the bigger problem is how society is looking at this and how the system is set up before even going in Mm-hmm. And it's bigger than just playing music on the radio. And it's bigger than just the letters. And it's bigger than just how is it connected? Because the end of the day, you know, I think there's a lot of separation between us versus them, or that community versus our community, so to speak, and then that lost voice. But the reality of the situation is your temporary residence does not determine whether or not you're a part of the community. Mm. You are a part of this. Is one. We are all one. A lot of communication that goes through WRT, you know, we have letters that come in. There's a lot of people that are listening that maybe have been in before that I even started. So you have over 10 years of celebrating birthdays, celebrating milestones, also discussing problems that have happened where loss of life, things that have come up like natural disasters that we've worked through, you know, civil rights issues that have come up. You have COVID in the prisons right now is big.
Yes.
You have people that are dying and people that are in there that are struggling and are saying, hey, you know, we're being treated this way. No one's listening. And that's where we come in. Really to be able to connect individuals. It's not to make a judgment or to say, hey, that's, you know, you're in there for this and this and this. That's not true, because it's not really about crime, so to speak. It's about like crimeless revocation. It's about plea bargains that say, hey, if you say you're guilty, we'll get you this much time. So you're talking about people who have been convicted of a crime, not necessarily talking about people that are guilty of a crime. So we have so many people from so many walks of life that are out there right now that are truly depending on us and music and the stations and the connections more than I think you even realize at the end of the day when you go home, that the voices just aren't being heard. One quick fact for you, just so you know, the Department of Corrections in Wisconsin has the highest black male incarceration rate in the nation. So again, whatever image you had of who's in jail, take color out of it for a second. Just take it out. So the design capacity, meaning how many people we can fit, is 17,603. Right now, currently, we have 19,812. So we have 2,209 over capacity in a pandemic. And we can't even have gatherings and things out here, yet they're suffering. There's two gentlemen actually through Expo that are running right now from Milwaukee over to Madison. I don't know if you've seen that. To draw awareness of it, one of the gentlemen spent 26 years incarcerated and ended up positive with COVID, and they let him out and said good luck.
Interesting enough, my family member who has been there since the week of Thanksgiving, and she has gotten COVID, and you know what? She can't get into treatment because they won't take her.
Right.
It is. It's a very big battle. And to not have this vision of someone thinking that they're bad because they're in there. Everyone makes mistakes. And especially now more than ever with the mental health that has been going on, we have to look and forgive.
Exactly. Absolutely. And the women are being treated, and the men, excuse me, but the women are also being treated. Right now, it's cold. It's extremely cold. We have a polar vortex. We have so many issues right now with people being cold, and they're being told that they don't have enough wool blankets and in drafty old buildings. The way that COVID is run right now, when you're segregated, so to speak, quote unquote, as far as trying to keep a quarantine, there is no way to quarantine behind the walls. Mm-hmm. There's no way to social distance whatsoever. No matter how you want to paint a pretty picture, there is no way. So then you have all of these individuals that are going through basically a long-term segregation, and you're like an animal in a cage, basically. Mm-hmm. So United Nations, when they define torture as anything over 11 days, and these people are getting segregated, and it's 90 days, it's 120 days, it's years of their life that they're 23 hours in and 1 hour out of their room. That doesn't mean outside. So, I mean, a lot of these individuals have outdates too. They will be coming home. So this is our community coming back to us with trauma and PTSD. And outside right now, we have so many people that are already struggling for their regular bills and loss of supplemental income to be able to afford meals and things like that. So how are these family members even able to put money on the phone to keep in contact with their loved ones on the inside? You really get cut off from everything that you know and that you love. And then all you have left is some emails or some letters and hope. But if nothing's moving and you just don't know if you're able to get relief, you don't know if you're going to get released, or you don't know what's going on, there's no guidelines. So some people, they've received heinous, heinous sentences for something that you and I would think, why? Why would they be in there for that long? And again, you know, a lot of it is systematic racism. And I know that a lot of the listeners might be uncomfortable listening to that. But I think that going back to that visual that I gave you, I think what the most important thing is to understand that everyone does have a bias, whether they think they do or they not. Saying, I don't see color, I see everyone as the same. While it sounds very heartfelt and true, I think that's one of the biggest disservices you can do to yourself. Right now, we need to have accountability for the fact that it's there. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean carry guilt. You don't have to feel guilty for whatever you are. But I think that you have to acknowledge that it is a very real problem that has started in the dialogue that we've been taught. It's continuous, and it's something that you need to see colors so that you can see pain. And when it comes to Black History Month, too, you need to understand the true Black history to understand their pain. And this is where my bittersweet comes in, because when a Black person needs to speak, we need to listen. We do. We need to give them a voice. We need to let them speak on what it is they feel. No one can express that other than that Black person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important that we give a platform. But it's hard for me to say, well, tell me about yourself, when that's not really what it's all about when it comes to what I do. It's really about letting other people tell about their story and trying to find a way that we can bridge that and eliminate some of these issues that I think people get dusted under the rug and they say, well, I'm so sick of hearing about it. Imagine living it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you had mentioned some of the challenges mm-hmm. that, you know, currently incarcerated and formerly incarcerated individuals face right now. How would you say that affects the community?
Well, it's really difficult. Being the housing coordinator, it's really hard to, there's not a lot of prep also to come back during reentry. So sometimes individuals don't necessarily have a connection to be able to find housing. And then even if you're connected with groups and organizations, sometimes it's difficult to get it because you don't necessarily have your ID. You don't mm-hmm. necessarily have your Social Security card for jobs. So, you know, maybe you have unpaid citations. They take your license away. Mm-hmm. So then if you, you know, the system is really designed to keep you in. A lot of the challenges that come from after incarceration is just, you can sum it up by there is no after incarceration. There's always incarceration after incarceration. You get judged by the community of you having a record or what you have done. Back to that plea bargain thing, or the, you know, convicted of a crime doesn't necessarily mean guilty of a crime. However, if your mugshot was put up before your innocence was put up, you are already determined to be the one that was involved in such and such. There's a stigma that's surrounding that that still comes and carries with you after you get let out. So, you know, you have a lot of these men and women that, you know, they have to fight to get their kids back. They have to fight to find a job. They don't know. Some people that have gone in, maybe even as a juvenile, 16 years old, spend 20 some years in prison. And then when you're released, you're expected to be an adult, mm-hmm. you know, and you've never cooked your own meal or so much as looked at a bank account, applied for a job or done anything that we take for granted. I have a story. I'm not going to say who told me it, but a good friend of mine told me when he was released after a long time, 20 years, he said, I was overwhelmed when I went to Woodman's. Because I was standing here in the chip aisle. And I thought, how the heck do people have this many chips? Right. All I wanted was a bag of chips. And I wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And that's true. Mm-hmm. That's as real as you can get. The earth changes, the world changes, yeah. people change. Nobody waits. Mm-hmm. And then you get out and you're expected to just know. Mm-hmm. And that right there is, it steals your dignity. Yeah. It steals your pride. It makes you just want to give up and say, well, this is all I've known. Maybe I should go back to it. And that's not true. But we really need leaders in the community to be able to help show that things can be done. And that's why I'm so grateful that you guys have been highlighting so much of the Black excellence in the community, because I think that seeing those things is more important than seeing all of the news headlines all the time. And the thing is that it's not a trend. We went through a lot in 2020. A lot of civil rights, a lot of marching, a lot of people opening their eyes to things that maybe they were closed to before. And I feel like it's just really important to know that Black excellence never changed. One of my friends actually posted, I jotted it down because I might mess it up, but he said, slavery isn't Black history. Slavery interrupted Black history. Mm-hmm. And I want to just say that, you know, over the course of the year, everything we've gone through, a lot of people have opened their eyes. That's wonderful. But I want to just remind everyone that it's not a trend. And it's not just a hashtag. And it's not just February, the shortest month. Right. These things need to be celebrated all the time. And it shouldn't be just a moment of, oh, you know, let me just make sure that I share this Black History Month thing on social media. That's not, it's great. It's a start. Mm-hmm. But really look at the message that you're sending to the children and to those coming up and to those individuals that you shake hands with. Every day. Well, hopefully you're not shaking hands. Let me retract that. Maybe those people that you know you bump an elbow with, right. or you give a head nod to from 6 feet away, ideally.
You're adorable. I love it.
Don't touch, but, you know, just keep that in mind that it's not something that's just going to be for a little while.
Right.
We need to acknowledge what we've done. And I don't say we, meaning you. So I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
What can we do in this community to do a better job?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Mm-hmm.
Unlearn. So identify the real systematic oppression and the systematic design that's real, that's actually happening. Unlearn what you've been taught as far as these history books. Look and see the real going back before a slave.
Yeah.
And if you're going to share a quote about Martin Luther King Jr., you know, really dig and see where was he standing when he made that and what was he fighting for at that time. Try to understand. There's a lot of community involvement on social media. So you can definitely not follow, but look at Nehemiah. I actually just did a Justified Anger podcast with them talking about COVID in the prisons. That's available now. And there's actually a voice on there from someone that's incarcerated at this moment explaining what's going on. So you can hear live people, yes, live connections. The Foundation for Black Women's Wellness is amazing. They share a lot of community events and things that you can follow and just kind of get an understanding of what women are going through. Also, a big one is the Madison Black Chamber of Commerce. That's mm-hmm. fantastic, and they have a whole list of Black-owned businesses that you can support right now and after February, keeping that in mind.
Right.
If you really want to be active, though, if you want to do a little bit more and you say, no, I really want to actually make moves, you can follow EXPO, Ex-Prisoners Organizing. They're doing a lot with the community. And the ACLU of Wisconsin Smart Justice Campaign, they're all great, great connections. And even just if you don't want to leave your home or you want to do something safely, even just following these things and getting more information, I think is the first step, because it's going to come across in your character. It's going to come across when you hear conversations that aren't correct and you can finally have the nerve to stand up and say, hey, I overheard what you're saying. That's not right. You know, and standing up for your fellow man. But I think it's time to break the generational curses. And that goes for Black. It goes for white. It goes for any color in between. Anything that you've been taught, if it's something that's not uplifting the rest of your community, then it's wrong. You know, we really need to look at that. And I have one final thought, too, that I want to share with the youth if they're listening. Mm-hmm. Black History Month, you know, a lot of people say, big ups to Rosa Parks for doing her thing on the bus. But I want you to look up Claudette Colvin, 1955. It was actually just before Rosa Parks, and she was 15 years old, and she didn't give up her seat on the bus. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't highlighted, because it really just didn't fit the narrative of someone that would, you know, cause a difference in her features and her age and things like that. It just wasn't blown up. But at 15 years old, this girl knew already, hey, I don't want to give up my seat on the bus. Later, she became a plaintiff in the Browders versus Gale. I have to read that so I make sure I say it right. But that ended the bus segregation in Montgomery, Alabama. So even as a youth, there's things that you can do to create change. You already know. Mm-hmm. I think with all of this divide, it's time to understand that if so many people feel so divided, isn't that also unity, that we're all feeling the same way? To try to look at it a little bit different. So you have the right to not remain silent, and you can make a difference. So I guess in the end, just don't celebrate me, like what I do. Celebrate when we don't have to do it anymore.
Right. Well, we thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
931 Jams. To speak about something that is extremely important mm-hmm. in this community and outside of this community. This is what we need to be doing each and every day mm-hmm. in uplifting people and being there to support them through everything, the ins and outs of life. And I just so appreciate what
Absolutely.
You're doing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, honey. Give it up to Boss Lady.
Oh, yeah.
That's our girl. Mm-hmm. Loving on her, Matt Town.
Thank you, Drive
As
safe.
We know you do. So there you have it. It's Chris in the Morning Rush on 93.1 Jams.